All right, welcome back to the show. Time to get a little sober here as we talk a little Pelicans, because, boy, that conversation hasn't been fun over the last few weeks. Ollie Cosell of the Bird Rights coming on in to chat with me. Ollie, what's going on tonight? How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, Seth. Sober is the perfect word. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though. If you go back to last year, the Pelicans' record after 29 games was 15-14. The Pelicans' record after 29 games this year is 14-15. People were freaking out last year. People are freaking out this year. Ollie, I tell them the NBA season really doesn't really start until after the trade deadline, but should people be freaking out still?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. 82 games, you got to get used to it. It's a long grind. Unless you're playing in some kind of unusual season where you've got a bunch of front runners, and we've seen it before, or, you know, the West once, I think it boiled down to, was about 6-7 years ago. 48-win team missed out. That was the Phoenix Suns. But, you know, we're not involved in anything that we've seen. The Golden State Warriors, they've gone off to an 18-9 start. You know, nobody's running away with it. Everybody's in it outside of Phoenix Suns. So, yeah, there's plenty of time for the guys to get back together. You've got Del Demps. He's probably going to have to make a move or two. But you know what? Still plenty of games ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of what I see. And getting Elfrid healthy and back, I think, is key, regardless of any deadline deals that they make. Let's talk about AD here. I think we talked about this last time you were on the program, that everybody seems to kind of be on board that, hey, AD's leadership skills in the locker room behind the scenes here, a little bit lacking on that front. And I think even he tweeted out something today to the effect of, hey, I've got to be a better leader off the court. Did you agree there?
Yeah, you absolutely have to, because if the guys are coming out with bad energy, which they have in certain games, not closing out games, which they have, if he's not getting a rebound sometimes for an entire half, or the defense isn't there, especially at the rim, you know, you can check all these boxes, right? And Anthony Davis should be right there handling a lot of this business, yet he hasn't. So he's always had this issue, Steph, though. You know, he's not a natural-born leader, not a type A personality. We all know that. We've seen him enough. But again, you always hope for more steps. And so far this season, he came in with that big talk, but he hasn't really backed it up. So it's great for him to say it, but let's see him actually put his money, or his mouth where his money is. So let's hear him back it up, because, you know, he put up a big line and everybody talked about the points, but, you know, it just felt empty, you know, against the Boston Celtics. It never looked like they were going to come back, win that game. He never seemed to inspire his other teammates. I mean, he had a great performance alone, but did he get anybody else going? Not really.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, the guy who is having a great year is Jrue Holiday. He had a dreadful first week of the season. And, in fact, he's still only shooting 30% from behind the arc, which would be his worst mark of his entire career. But he's averaging a career-high 20.5 points. He's averaging a career-high 8.8 assists. He's grabbing 5 rebounds a game. I mean, this dude is straight balling out. And I think he's one of the 5-6 best guards in the NBA. Forget two-way guards. I think he's one of the best guards in the NBA now.
Hands down. I've been one of his biggest, staunchest supporters just because I saw, you know, that ability in him. He kind of felt like all he needed was a chance to get comfortable, get past the injuries. And sure enough, he's really performed well. That stretch last season. I think Rondo kind of probably put him at some kind of ease, especially playing off the ball. So this year he's had kind of issues with that. Obviously, Elfrid's only played about 5 games. So Jrue's been asked to do so much more than what he already does. I mean, let's face it, you got to guard the best player in the guy. You got to put up 20 points. You've already mentioned some of the other stats. And then you have to initiate the offense. I think it's gotten a little bit to him this year. But again, Gentry's recognized that. They put Tim Frazier in there, and slowly he's had some better games again. I mean, how about that 37-point performance against the Pistons?
Yeah, no, he was absolutely fantastic. Might have been the best game he's played here in the NBA, certainly in a Pelicans uniform. Now, what happened against Boston, man? They were resting everybody, and the Pelicans just laid an egg on Monday.
Well, you know, they came out dreadful. They didn't match that intensity. You saw it in the first few minutes, and then Boston kept it up. You know, they kept it floored. I mean, actually, I should take that back. The Pelicans started off in the field actually pretty well. I remember being 15-14. But after that moment, after that initial push to start the game, they kind of just put it back in the, you know, second gear, got stuck, I should say, in second gear, and the Boston Celtics just lurched ahead. I mean, Jason Tatum, you know, he's just in his second year. He looked great out there. And then Marcus Morris looked like an all-NBA player. the Pelicans didn't play defensively, Seth. They didn't stop the ball on the initial drives, something Gentry pointed out too. But then there's no weak side defense. And then the rebounding. How can you let one of the worst rebounding teams against one of the best rebounding teams just have their way inside the paint? You know, there's a lot of unacceptable things. And we've already touched on the offense. It was just basically an Anthony Davis show. So a lot of issues, a lot of problems. And it's just disheartening when we have to talk about what goes wrong. And it seems like every other game now, it's something else. So it's a problem. The team is not firing at all cylinders. My biggest hope going forward is that they've got to play a lot better, and they've got 3 games in the next 10 games. Let's hope the coaching staff can get these guys on the same page with a lot more practices. And then the guys that are banged up, get some rest.
So it's a couple of months away from the trade deadline. That's February 7th. Are we just kind of expecting, hey, Pelicans tread water, stay around 500 at that point, and then make a move and see what happens? And is there anything, any stretches in the schedule that you kind of circle that, hey, Pelicans can make some moves here, string some wins together?
Well, we did that earlier. We did that with a lot of games in November where we thought that was going to be one of the easier stretches. But, you know, that they played 500 ball, and that's just not going to get it done. So, Seth, at this point, I think the way the front office is going to move forward, obviously, is can they get their guys back healthy? It's going to be the biggest key is going to be getting back Elfrid Payton. If not, I mean, they've got Andrew Harrison right now as a two-way contract, but he's basically that emergency backup. If there's any more issues going forward with this team, I think Del Demps is going to have to push a button. He can't wait any longer. I mean, they're teetering right now. You go through a couple bad stretches, a couple bad weeks on top of that 14-15 record, you're suddenly looking way outside of that picture on making the playoffs. You're going to have to jump a lot of teams, and I know they know how hard it was last season. You can't count on finishing on a 28th run to make the playoffs in the last week. So they're not going to be circling anything. They're just going to watch how their team's going, and they've got to stay right there around, you know, that 8th, 9th seed. If they do that, they'll be fine. Del Demps will be able to take his time, peruse all the offers out there, get who he needs, but otherwise he'll be forced to maybe – you know, push almost like a panic button trigger and move on somebody earlier if they need somebody.
Well, we'll see what happens there, and we'll leave it there. Ollie Cosell of the Bird Rights, you can find his work there. Ollie, appreciate the time again, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Seth.
All right, we'll take a break, wrap it up the hour next here on The Last Lap.